Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for him going to the cross for us, winning us eternal life. And we pray that you will speak to us now. In his name, amen. Well, I always love hearing people give their testimony. So thank you again, John, for sharing your story with us. But I wonder, how did other people here become Christians? I know there might be some people here who would not call themselves Christian yet, in which case, do just listen in, and I hope you'll enjoy what we think about this morning. But for those who would call themselves Christians, what happened? One thing I can guarantee that it helped you to enable you to take that step of faith was somebody told you. Very, very unusual for people to come to know Jesus any other way. Somebody took a risk with us. Somebody came and told us the Christian message. Or at the very least, they said, please, come to a place where you can find out about the Christian message. Come to a Christianity Explored series, or come to church for a special evening. Somebody took a risk so that we could come to a place to hear about Jesus and how he died for us, so that we could enter into a loving relationship with him, where we are truly forgiven, and where we receive this living water bubbling up to eternal life. Now, we all have different stories, I know. For some of us, we might have been brought up in a Christian family, and as John was saying, he heard the Christian message as he was growing up. Didn't bear fruit until a bit later on, but he heard the message, so when the time came, he knew what he was signing up for. Other people, they might hear it in Sunday school or in a youth group, or maybe at university, whereas others, as adults. But somebody took a risk. Somebody spent time investing in us, praying for us, and explaining to us the Christian faith, or inviting us to something. So if that's the case, here's the question. How will other people become Christian? If we became Christians through hearing the word of God, which somebody spoke to us, well then, other people will become Christians only if somebody takes a risk with them and shares the Christian faith with them and prays for them, or at least invites them to church or Christianity Explored or whatever. This is really what today's Bible reading is all about. Let's turn to it, John chapter 4. Continuing story of the Samaritan woman and what happens next. And really, today's Bible reading is all about the harvest of souls. The harvest. I'm not talking about the harvest that we see in the summer, as we all the tractors go out and bring in the crop. No, we're talking about a harvest of souls. So page 1067, we see this. And Jesus says that his followers, all of us, need to get involved in that work of harvest. Not an optional extra for some really keen Christians or for the rector. Jesus says all of us are called to go out into the work of the harvest, whether it be sowing or harvesting or watering. But let's have a look at the Bible reading. So we're following this wonderful story of the Samaritan woman, and boy, is she having a great day. If you remember, she came out in the middle of the day, full of shame. She didn't want any of the other townspeople to see her because, well, she had a dodgy background. When she meets Jesus, she realizes he knows all about her. You've had five husbands already. The man you're with now is not your husband, and yet he still loves her and wants to do spiritual business with her. He offers her living waters, welling up to eternal life. And she responds in worship. We saw last week how she left her water jar. Do you remember that? Her water jar represented all of her concerns. She came looking for something physical, her physical needs. But she left that because she was now going to go out and live a life of worship. Because she now had the living water of eternal life. And one of the aspects of worship we see is the way that she goes straight to the people of the town and tells them about Jesus. Now that's a risk. We think about it, why did she go out in the middle of the day? To avoid the townspeople. They looked down their noses at her, but she took the risk and she went to them. And if you take a look at verse 29, she says, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" She took a risk. This man knows all about me, yet he still loves me, and he's offering me the water of eternal life. Come and see. And those people responded, and they went out to see for themselves, and they too encountered Jesus. But let's just take a step back and think about what's going on at the well, because you've got a conversation going on there. Now, it's quite interesting, this chapter, because you've got two sets of people doing the same sort of thing in opposite directions. The woman is leaving the town to go to the well to get physical water for physical nourishment. The disciples are moving in the other direction. They're heading into town to get food for physical nourishment. The woman at the well encounters Jesus, the penny drops. She leaves behind her worldly concerns to go and share the gospel. The disciples, they come back with food. And what are they concerned about as Jesus starts talking to them about a different type of food? They scratch their heads and think, he must be talking about lunch, surely. The disciples return. The woman at that point is still there, and they don't ask anything. It's unusual. Jesus is here speaking to a Samaritan woman. They don't think about that. All they can think about is, I'm hungry. Let's, you know, get the beans on. Let's start cooking lunch. The woman goes. She shares the gospel with her friends. Meanwhile, the disciples are just thinking about food. Come on, Jesus, eat something. Verse 31. Jesus says, I have food to eat that you know nothing about, and all they can think about is lunch. Could somebody have brought him some food? And Jesus is trying to get through to these wonderful disciples who are a bit slow on the uptake, like most of us. I have food to eat that you know nothing about. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Jesus is trying to say, look, yes, lunch is important, but there's a more important food happening. There's an ingathering of Samaritans going on. And just picture the scene for a moment. Jesus is saying, he starts telling them, look at the harvest fields. Now there's probably a field behind Jesus. And he's saying, look at the harvest. And they're looking out and they see a field and they're thinking, it's not ready for harvest. But what else do they see? At the other end of the field, the Samaritans have heard the woman's testimony. They're walking across the field. Jesus is saying, look at the harvest. I'm not talking about the crops growing in the field. It's the harvest of souls. And I want you guys to be part of reaping this harvest that you have not sown for. What we've got in this amazing chapter of John's Gospel then is two types of water, two types of food, two types of work. Okay, we know all about the water. She goes looking for, the woman goes looking for physical water, but she discovers living water, the Holy Spirit, welling up to eternal life. Then there's the two types of food. The disciples are just thinking about lunch and physical food. Jesus says there's a different type of food, a different type of harvest, the harvest of souls. And the two types of work, well, we can either work for physical things of this life. Well, we have to do that. We all need jobs. We do need to grow crops to eat. But there's a different type of work. And Jesus says, don't forget the spiritual work. All you guys can think about is physical food. Just leave that behind for a moment. Look at what's going on. There's a harvest. Get out there. Get involved with it. Two types of work. Look to the food that endures, the work that endures. So we have an example to follow. The Samaritan woman leaves her water jar and her worldly concerns to go and do the work of the harvest. She starts sowing seeds. The disciples are being called, look, just forget about lunch for a moment. Time for that later. Go into the harvest fields and join in the harvest of souls. Are we going to be like the woman who gets it and gets on with it? Or are we going to be like the disciples who just keep thinking about the things of this world? Now, I think the point about verses 34 to 38 is really all about this. Get out there. If you're going to be my followers, says Jesus, get involved in the harvest. But let's just look at what this is all about, because how do the Samaritans come to realize who Jesus is? It's because the woman shares words with them. That's really what the work of the gospel is. It's about sharing the message of Jesus, speaking about Jesus. Yes, it's showing love. That's very important. It's praying. But ultimately, there has to be some sharing of words. And it's the words that the woman shares which encourages the Samaritans to go and meet Jesus for themselves. And then what happens in verse 39, we see that many Samaritans believe in Jesus because of the woman's testimony, her words. But then verse 40 and 41, Jesus shares words with them. Verse 41, because of his words, many more became believers. The Samaritans realize Jesus is the Savior of the world by the words, the testimony of the woman, and by the words of Jesus. So the work that we're being called to is a work of sharing the word, or inviting people to hear about the word. And the conclusion we want people to come to is that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Now, two things to say about that. First of all, the disciples were probably thinking that Jesus was only the Savior of the Jews. No. Jesus has come for the Samaritans too. He's come for the whole world. And I think sometimes we can be too inward looking. You know, Jesus is not only the Savior of St. John's. He wants to be the Savior of Elmswell, the Savior of Suffolk, the Savior of England, the Savior of the world. The other thing is, Jesus is Savior. That means Jesus saves. So part of the message, the words we share, have to be the fact that not only is Jesus Lord, not only does he offer us living water, not only is he going to be our friend, he's going to be our Savior. Jesus came to die on a cross so we can be saved from our sins. So we need to include that as we share about Jesus. So, I think what Jesus is calling us to do is to get out there into the harvest field. Pray for people, invite people, share with people. But it's a great day of harvest back then. See, not often do we find the Samaritan woman went out and she sowed, and the harvest was about 20 minutes later. That's not common. Often, the act of sowing to reaping the harvest takes time. People say that in England at the moment, it takes somebody on average 5 years to become a Christian, from those seeds being sown to the harvest. And I've seen that in my own experience. But we're called to go out and get involved in the work. But I just want to encourage you, you might go out, sow some seeds, and think, well, that didn't do any good. Well, be patient. A few days ago, I came across this marvellous story of a chap. His name was Dr. William Leslie. In 1912, he went out to a remote corner of the Democratic Republic of Congo. He was there 17 years. And once a year, for a whole month, he crossed the river to the other side, and he spent the whole month sharing the message of Christ with children, with adults. 17 years later, he went back to the United States thinking, what was the point? No fruit, no harvest. And he died thinking that. In 2010, people from Mission Aviation Fellowship went into that region and they found a whole network of flourishing churches. And when they asked where did this all come from, So it all came from a nice man called Dr. Leslie, who kept coming across the river every year, and we became Christians. So we might not see the harvest ourselves, but let's trust that God is at work. In our home group in the middle of the week, we were looking at Isaiah 55. And in Isaiah 55, God promises that his word, when it goes out there, will not return void. His word is like the snow and the rain, which waters the ground so things grow. But it might take a period of time before we see the fruit of our labour. The point is, are we going to take a risk for God? The Samaritan woman left behind her water jar so she could go and tell people the gospel. And the Samaritans responded. I'm just going to read a couple of verses as we close from Romans 10. Famous verses. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Friends, Jesus is sending us today to be sowers, maybe to be reapers, but to get involved in the harvest of souls. And we can do it by sharing our story. Very simple. John, just explain what happened to him. We can do it by explaining the core of the gospel. We can do it by saying, come to the next men's breakfast, or come to breakfast church. And we can pray. And we can trust God that there can be a harvest of souls. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, we thank you that somebody told us the gospel, whether it be parents or friends, or even an enemy taking a risk with us. We thank you for your work in our lives, and we pray that we would respond by being workers in the harvest field, seeing a crop form over time that brings people to eternal life. Help us to take a risk, Lord, as people took a risk with us. Pray this for the sake of the name of Jesus. Amen.